Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Manappuram Finance Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanket Chheda from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah. Hi, good evening to all of you. We have with us the entire management team of Manappuram. To begin with, Mr. V.P. Nandakumar, the MD and CEO, Mr. Sunyoga Jayashankar, who is the ED, and Mr. Bindu, who is the CFO. Also we have with us Ravindra Babu, who is MD of Asirvad Microfinance, and Kamal Parmar, who heads Vehicle and Equipment Finance. Without further ado, I would hand the call over to Mr. Nandakumar for his opening remarks, and then we can follow up with the Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call for our fourth quarter and full year FY23 financials. I take great pleasure in presenting our results at a time when India is set to become one of the fastest-growing global economies of the world. The optimism about India's growth prospects in all is all pervasive, and the country is now universally acknowledged in economic circles to be an island of macroeconomic stability. The interest shown by many countries to trade with us in INR exemplifies our improved standing. In the last con call, I had stressed the need for a balanced and prudent growth strategy. This financial year, there are strong signs of that strategy being put into practice as we have achieved good growth in both AUM and profitability. I'm happy to share that we have recorded a consolidated net profit of 415.3 crore in Q4, which is an improvement of 59.1% over the year-ago quarter, primarily driven by profitability in gold loans and a turnaround in microfinance business. Full-year consolidated profits also grew by 12.91% to 1,500.2 crores. Gold loan AUM was 19,746.2 crore, an improvement of 6.08% over the previous quarter. While standalone AUM at 24,445.6 crore grew by 9.1% year-on-year, the consolidated AUM has reached 35,452.3 crore in Q4, representing an increase of 17.2% over the year-ago quarter. I get asked all the time about increasing competition and emergence of new players, not only in the NBFC space, but also in the digital lending space. However, India's under-penetrated financial market gives room for a large number of players to coexist without sacrificing profitability. The company's microfinance subsidiary, Asirvad, has posted an AUM of 10,042.9 crore, showing an impressive growth of 43.4% year-on-year and a profit of 99.3 crore during Q4, taking full year profit to 218.1 crore this financial year, you say, with 15.3 crore in FY22. As the sector reaps full benefits of the ongoing economic recovery, the share of microfinance in the overall profit pie is set to go up in the days to come. Continuing the trend in the previous quarters, we have posted an impressive growth in the vehicle finance business, recording 49.4% increase year on year and an AUM of 2,455.1 crore, followed by home loans with an AUM of 1,095.8 crore, registering a 29.6% increase over the corresponding quarter in FY22. Home loan profitability has improved to 19.5 crore this financial year from 7.2 crore in the previous year. The strategy of diversifying into other sectors is gaining pace, and this rebalancing is reflected in March 23 quarter results. The share of non-gold verticals in our total assets under management now stands at 44% and is in line with our award objective of achieving a 50-50 portfolio mix between gold and the non-gold segment. We'll continue to press ahead with this policy of becoming a well-diversified NBFC. Collections from microfinance business is expected to improve further, and this sector correlates well with the economic recovery. In the housing finance business, the focus is on low-ticket housing loans. We have decided to enter niche areas like financing healthcare professionals and small hospitals with good potential. On our corporate loan front, we have already disbursed around 1,000 crores. For the vehicle finance business, we are increasing the penetration in rural and semi-urban locations. What gives us edge are our own digital lending platforms and automated approval processes. Now, we have introduced an app called Ma Money, which brings all products under one umbrella. MSME and personal loan segments are other areas where we want to increase our presence. I want to add one more thing. In the recent past, you would have seen in the media about the ED raid and all, and I have clarified how it is. It is something belonging to something of 12 years old, very old. And whatever requirements are there, everything have been submitted. And RBI has been overseeing that for the last 10 years, 11 years. And they have given us a letter saying that we are largely satisfied. But whatever ED has said, the background also, I told, the one person who have complained in 2011, he again preferred a complaint in his brother's name and asking the ED to investigate. And the High Court, without looking into the earlier quashing petition of his, allowed that, and that is the reason. So whatever has been submitted, they have done it. But I am happy to share that its operations has been fully stayed through High Court's order today. In the upper court, the judge pronounced the stay order, and we are yet to obtain the written copy of that. We expect that to come by the late evening today. So the operations have been stayed, and we are confident of quashing that order of enforcement directorate. So this is what I want to share about that, because I feel like some of you may be anxious to hear about that. For a more comprehensive review of our financial performance, I hand over to our CFO, Bidwell.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you all for joining us today. Our consolidated AUM for Q4 FY23 was ₹35,452 crore, representing 11.2% sequential growth and 17.2% YOY growth. Our consolidated profit after tax was ₹415 crore for Q4 FY23, which was up by 5.5% Q on Q and up by 59.1% YOY. All non-gold businesses reported an ROA ranging from 2 to 4%. Consolidated profit after tax for the year was ₹1,500 crore, which was up by 12.9% YOY. ROE on a consolidated basis was 17.5% and ROA was 4.3%. Our GNPA at 1.33% versus 1.61% during the previous quarter. Liquidity position, cash and cash equivalents on hand on a consolidated basis was ₹3,000 crore, and undrawn bank line was 2,949 crore as on 31st March 2023. Our CP exposure is nil in the standalone entity, and our ALM is well positioned across all the buckets. Standalone borrowing cost has come down by 6 basis points in Q4 after the repo rate hike. Talking about the gold loan business, which constitutes 56% of consolidated AUM, whereas the remaining 44% includes microfinance, vehicle finance, housing and SME finance. Standalone gold AUM has increased by 5.4% Q on Q, yield at 21%, which is slightly lower than Q3 FY23 due to increasing the tenure of gold loans from 3 months to 6 months tenure. During the quarter, we were able to add 4.56 lakh new customers. Average ticket size at ₹57,546 and average duration of 71 days. Our gold loan average LTV at 60%, which is well below the peer group. Our standalone revenue, there is a small reduction on account of the higher liquidity which we placed in Q3 for repayment of our dollar bond. Our standalone PAT was ₹309 crore, down by 2.9% sequentially and up by 16.5% year on year. Coming to microfinance, Ashirvad Microfinance, the AUM stands at ₹10,040 crore, including gold loan AUM of ₹705 crore, up by 16% Q on Q and up by 43% YOY. PAT for the MFI business has increased to ₹99 crore in Q4 versus 70 crore in Q3 FY23. Our collection efficiency from MFI business during the quarter stood at 104%, and disbursements during the quarter was nearly ₹3,000 crore. In Ashirvad, the gold loan AUM as on 31st March 2023 stands at ₹705 crore. Cumulative ECL provision in Ashirvad is ₹242 crore. Net NPA stands at 1.15%. CRAR 19.6%. ROA 4.25%. ROE of 26.6% in this quarter. In vehicle finance, we have reported an AUM of ₹2,445 crore, which is up by 16% Q on Q, up by 49% year on year. Collection efficiency for the quarter was 103.7% from 3.1%. Home loan book, ₹1,096 crore, which is up by 9% Q on Q and 29% YOY. This operates from 66 branches and reported a profit of 7.3 crore during the quarter and was ₹19.5 crore for the year. Collection efficiency for the quarter was 101% and GNPA at 1.9%. Loan to MSME and others at rupees 1,945 crore, collection efficiency at 110% and GNP at 1.5%. Our on-lending AUM stands at rupees 875 crore with a disbursal amount of rupees 420 crore during the quarter. Our asset quality improved. On account of that, our provisions and write-offs for the standalone entity stood at rupees 4.3 crore compared to rupees 9.8 crore in Q3 FY23. The board has declared an interim dividend of 75 paisa for this quarter. Our capital position is strong with a capital adequacy ratio of 31.7%. Our consolidated net worth stands at rupees 9,645 crore at a book value of rupees 113.9 paisa. Thank you. Now we can go for the Q&A session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Nandakumar sir, I mean, if you could just clarify what you said during your opening remarks, and if you heard it right, you have now received a stay order on the ED investigation, and what you said is a written order is expected sometime by evening today.
Okay. About the case also, I will tell you, this has been clarified before also. This is a 12-year-old case about Manappuram Agro Farm, which was my proprietary concern, and that had some public deposits. And one local person complained that the deposits are taken in the premises of Manappuram Finance, etc. And RBI has asked for a ring fencing, etc., which has been done. And I offered myself to repay everything in 2012. And the amount was put into an escrow account along with interest. And these are fully repaid along with interest, except 9 lakhs where the customers are untraceable. So total amount put in, used for that was 159 crores. And the balance outstanding is only 9 lakhs. And these are regularly supervised by RBI and as a part of their due diligence process. They have issued a letter also. Yeah, they are largely satisfied with our action. This is the background. And now he preferred a complaint to High Court saying that all the previous inquiries and investigations, he is not satisfied. Now ED should investigate, etc. So High Court said that let ED also investigate. Filing an FIR with the police. And police already referred this case. And the court also has closed it. So that is all. The ED then asked for details, etc., etc., which has been provided. Yeah. And to our surprise, they did a raid in the office last week, and this order was issued, whatever is some freezing of some of my personal assets, which includes a part of my shares in Manappuram Finance also. This order. So we consulted our lawyers, including Supreme Court lawyers. They said, yes, this is absolutely a high-handedness with some ulterior motives. So they said we can easily quash it. So as the first process, as the, to begin with, we preferred our this thing in Honorable High Court of Kerala. Then on the basis of that, today was the first sitting. In the sitting, Honorable Judge has pronounced a stay order in the operation of the executive order from ED. And our counsels are very sure about, very hopeful about, quashing that in the next 2-3 hearings, after hearing the other side. This is the stay order. This is the situation. So as such, it is the, its operation is stayed, and they will release all the freezing orders. It will, they have to defreeze it. This is the situation. And the sitting only. So the order will be available in the late evening, maybe around 8 o'clock.
Got it, sir. Congratulations on that. Yeah, thanks a lot. Sir, thank you for very elaborately answering my previous question. The next question that I had was on the gold loan business. In this quarter, we have reported about a 140 basis point sequential decline in your net yields in gold loans. We have given out a reason. This is because of the conversion of gold loans from 3 months to 6 months. So, A, if you can just help us understand how does conversion or increase in tenure of gold loans from 3 to 6 months led to a decline in the yields in gold loans. And B, sir, I mean, for the last many quarters now, we are seeing a continued trade-off between the gold loan growth and spreads or margins in the gold lending business. So just wanted to understand that even though we say that the competitive intensity from banks have at the margin been easing out, we are not quite seeing that happening in terms of the trade-off between the gold loan growth and the spreads. So is there a sweet spot wherein you can operate at slightly lower gold loan yields, settle for maybe slightly lower margins and ROAs in the gold loan business? Will that help you get to a situation where you can demonstrate both stable spreads and margins and good gold loan growth as well?
So your first question was from the tenure from 3 months to 6 months, how is it affecting the yield? So if it is 3 months, immediately after 3 months of the date of pledge, it becomes overdue. And the overdue charges are available. Now the overdue charges are available only after 6 months. That has led to some decline in the yield. So we are planning to operate at a yield of around 22% plus. So our yield now is improving because we have slightly increased that. And with the new changes in the product structure, etc., we hope it will settle that at around 22.5%. This is going to be, see, we don't believe that the reducing the yield by 1 or 2% will improve our business. What we expect this year is around 10% growth in gold loan AUM. So we are growing at that pace now. 10% AUM growth for the FY24. We will be able to settle around that.
Got it, this is useful. Maybe I'll come back in the question with you. Thank you so much and wish you and your team the very best.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shreepal Doshi with Aquarius Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So I wanted to ask you a question pertaining to the microfinance business. So on that front, like we are already having a leverage of more than 6x, and I think the capital adequacy is also below 20 or 20%. So what is, so are we looking to infuse capital or is there any thought on that front? Because given the kind of growth we are having in this segment, so what's the thought process on this front?
So microfinance business definitely need capital. So on the one side, we will infuse capital, that may be around 500 crores, and also offer subordinate debt for an equal amount to our subsidiary. And also parallelly, what we try is to raise capital from outside, through IPO or maybe one or two private equities. This is already there. We have talked to some merchant bankers already, and for proceeding, all are awaiting for the Q4 results, FY23 results. Now, as that is already, we'll start scouting for capital from outside also. And from the parent side, as I have said, we may infuse somewhere around some 500 crores, because which should be within the covenants with some of the lenders. Then tier two also will support subsidiary.
Got it. Sir, like wanted to understand what is the disbursement that we have done in the MFI piece, like under Asirvad, in FY23 overall and in 4Q
FY23. Yeah, FY, what is the disbursement?
Nearly 7,000 crores for the full year.
8,300.
8,300.
Okay, and this quarter, okay, we'll get it. That's okay. Got it. And sir, what has been the write-off in this business in FY23?
113 crores.
113 crores.
Okay, 113 crores. That is for the whole year, FY23, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you, sir. One just last question pertaining to the gold loan business. What percentage of our book is above 2 lakh ticket size in the gold loan business?
Raju?
Yeah, it is 50, about 2 lakh, it is 35%.
Okay, about 2 lakh is 35%.
35%.
Okay, got it. And so what is the highest ticket size that we have ever done in gold? If you could give some sense.
Like 50 lakh, 1 crore also will be there, but that will be very minimal in number.
It will be maximum a dozen of customers.
Yeah, maybe.
So up to 1 crore.
Yeah.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Yeah.
Good luck for the next quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Gao Xi Yuan from Scornflat. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible? Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just want to ask on the gold loan yield side. So you say that we expect to operate about 22%. So do we expect next quarter our gold loan yield will bounce back to around that level? And, you know, what's the month of April's gold loan yield?
Yeah, so currently it is around 21% for the quarter, but steadily it is going up. So we expect to achieve by the end of Q1. So average may be slightly lower, but we will be able to achieve at the end of the quarter.
Sorry, you were saying so monthly basis is going up. So by end of first quarter, you will come back to 22%. Is that what you're saying?
So just kind of. Yeah. So by the end of Q1, we will be able to reach 22% yield for our gold loan business. So as we started from 21, it will be the average for the quarter will be 21.5, but we will be reporting a 22% yield at the end of the quarter.
Okay. because we used to share, you know, what's the monthly yield. So do you mind sharing what's the monthly yield for April for Gogo?
Yeah, it is steadily improving.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And then the change of duration from 3 months to 6 months, is there a change in strategy or, you know, or it's just a timing mix, you know, more customers tend to take 6 months this quarter, or how does it work?
See, we thought we will increase the tenure to 3 months to 6 months because a lot of surplus in auction is accruing. So we felt like judging the gold value for the last couple of years, the risk in increasing the tenure to 6 months is not a big price risk for us. Because, and also I want to tell you, all other lenders are offering for 1 year with the same LTV. In the same LTV, they are offering a tenure of 1 year.
Okay. Is our entire portfolio now on 6 months or?
Yeah, yeah. So, because all the pledges will move to that, because all new pledges will be in the new tenure.
Okay. Thank you, Dasa. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kushan Parekh with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I have three questions on the liability side. Just wanted to understand through the past week since the ED investigation began, what is the feedback that we have from banks and fixed income market participants regarding this ED action, and have we been able to raise any fresh funding, and is it on similar terms as before? And just lastly, just want to understand if, I mean, if this affects your loan growth expectations going forward, I mean, due to the, if there are any funding interruptions.
So, I want to tell you that this is not something, this, whatever led to this is not something new. This is known to all the stakeholders for the past 10 years. And they all know everything has been repaid also 10 years. This is a very old story. So one person was creating this problem, the same person only for the last 12 years. So this is nothing new as far as our stakeholders are concerned. And now we obtained a stay. And as the matter, everything is not something which can create any problem. We are very sure, our counsels are very sure about quashing this case in the High Court in the coming weeks. So this case is posted for next week. Our counsel will argue, and we have a very strong ground. And the similar case was through his wife, which was filed through his wife. That was already caused by the High Court. So it's not an issue. Yeah, already the police has referred this case and the court has closed. So it's caution is only a matter of time. Interim, we got the stay, and that will be shared with the stakeholders. And with that, we don't expect the liability challenges on account of that. And some of the banks have renewed that. One is HDFC Bank. Now I'm leaving to our CFO.
Yeah, so we have enough undrawn lines, and post the event also, we were able to get disbursements from few banks. In other cases, they may be updating the credit committee. So once we get the stay order, we will share with all the lenders. As MDs are told, this is an old issue. It is this information is available in all our public documents, including the prospectus, etc. So this has not created much issue for the liquidity profile.
And just on the terms of the funding, I mean, have they changed, or I mean, they remain similar to what was before the event?
It is similar only.
Okay. And just if you could sort of guide us on your loan growth plans as well. I mean, do they change in any which ways going forward, or we're still looking to do around 20% overall control basis loan growth?
So the business plan will continue as per the plan. We are not seeing any liquidity constraints at this point of time, which will reduce the growth. Funding is not a constraint at this point of time.
Understood. That's helpful. Thanks for that. That's also my turn.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pardon Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I had one clarification. So all of the loans on the book today are 6 months?
Yes.
Okay. And second thing, just, you know, in your notes to accounts, you mentioned about this RBI inspection, you know, show cost notice that you all got. So can you just elaborate on that, please?
Yeah. This is relating to financial year 2021. During the inspection, RBI pointed out the extension of tenure, which we were following for last so many years. That inspector interpreted this as a rollover of loan, and you remember there was a spike in NPA in FY22 because of this RBI response, and we provided all the details, and we are discussing with RBI on this issue, and we are awaiting the feedback from them.
We had a personal hearing also. We are expecting a positive response from them because we have given a reply which we hope that this will convince them the background.
No, so I, Bindu, if you can just clarify, like you were extending the loans, what exactly about extending?
Yeah.
Like why were we extending the loan?
Okay, so in the past our scheme structure was initial tenure of loan will be 3 months, and if the customer is servicing the full interest, he will get an extension for another 3 months. So this was the scheme structure. As we can test the cash flow of the customer, and he has to service the full interest after the completion of 3 months. That is how we were doing from 2014 onwards. We were doing like that only. But in FY21 inspection, that is interpreted as a rollover of loan, and whether we have assessed the cash flow of the customer, is there any concession? These were the queries which we are answering. Hope that is clarified.
And your competitors also have such schemes?
Competitors, I think everywhere it is 1 year scheme. In our case only it was 3 months from 2014 onwards.
Okay, but they still not extend, is my question.
We don't know.
Okay, fair enough. And just lastly, in terms of this this book, which is less than 12% yield, which you've given on slide 18, does that go to zero anytime, or is this sort of a steady state?
No, it will be, the 12% scheme will be maintained.
Maybe, may not be at 13%, it will be in the range of 8 to 10% level, because the scheme is already exist earlier also. So
the blended yield, we have structured in a way that the blended yield would be 22.5% towards the third quarter of this year. It is consistently increasing. This quarter, we expect that to settle around 22%.
Okay. And banks are still offering the 8-9% gold loan even now? Like NBFCs have stopped, but are banks still doing that?
We don't see that sort of aggression now. Because those were the days where they were getting liability growth, but not getting adequate asset side growth. Now they are getting asset side growth more and liability growth less. So their aggression in small loans have come down, particularly in gold loans have come down. We don't see much advertisements, etc.
Got it. Okay, this is helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nischint Chawate from Kotak Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. You mentioned that around 35% of your loans are above 2 lakhs. What was this ratio for FY22, which is a year prior?
So FY22, last year it was 45%.
About, sorry, not 45%, it is around 28%. Sorry, so 28 became 35. So actually, the number of the proportion of loan book about 2 lakh actually went up this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought you had articulated the strategy where you're kind of going down the ticket sizes.
Yeah, but mostly that is 1-2 lakh range. 1 lakh, 1-2 lakh, this is about 2 lakh,
right? And so between 1-2 lakh, how would the proportion have changed?
This 24%.
Okay, and I mean, how much would it have been changed? I mean, how much would it be like
18%.
18%. And actually, I know you've discussed this, but I didn't quite understand the. The reason for decrease in sequential yield. So maybe if you can just clarify that a little bit more in detail.
Can you repeat that question? It's not clear.
The decline in yield, if you could just maybe touch upon that aspect once again, because I'm not sure if I followed that properly.
Yeah. So recently we have increased the contractor tenor of gold loans from 3 months to 6 months. As it is a transition phase, the yield, the other charges, overdue charges, etc. will be less. And during the tenor we are offering, as it is a slightly longer tenor, the interest will be less. That is the reason this 1% difference between Q3 and Q4.
No, so I didn't quite follow. So what you're saying is that you actually give an incentive to the customer saying that I will give you some discount but you move to a longer tenure. Is that how I should read it?
Yeah.
Sure. And I think there was an RBI circular, which is talking about penal charges and curtailing basically the way penal charges can be levied to the customer. So would you have any view on this?
So see, whatever is the RBI circular, we have to comply with that. But we can structure products in a way that whatever is the yield we expect, that is available. That is, the products have been restructured in such a way that towards the end of this year, we will reach a level of 22.5% on the portfolio. So we have seen the instructions with regard to penal charges, etc., etc. We will comply with that, even in spite of that.
Perfect, got it. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Vaibhav Bajatia from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for providing the opportunity. This is in follow-up with the question that the earlier participant asked. So in terms of the total penal interest that we have charged for FY23. Can you give me that amount in absolute terms?
Those details.
Yeah, we will.
We'll come back separately. We don't have it at present. We'll share with you.
Okay, but in percentage, generally, what is the policy? Is it like 1%, 2% of the loan amount, or what is the policy in percentage terms?
Yeah, the 3%. It was 3% higher per annum. That was the policy.
Okay, and this penal interest starts, the meter starts the moment it crosses 90 days, right?
Yeah, it becomes
overdue interest. Overdue interest will be charged from the date of maturity.
6 months after.
Okay, got it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shantanu from Think Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I guess I missed it in the beginning. Just want to know what is the guidance for our gold loan segment for FY24?
So what we have projected, what we budgeted is around 10% growth. So we are in line with that as of now.
Okay. And our yield for FY24 would be around
22.5%. Towards the end of this quarter, it will reach around 22%.
Okay. And for the non-gold loan part, what would be the growth guidance?
So in my opening remarks, I have mentioned about our overall objective of reaching 50-50 gold and 50 non-gold. Now the non-gold is 44%. So we hope in another 1 year, 1.5 years, 2 years, we'll reach that level of 50%.
Got it. Okay. That's it for my time. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Gao Shijuan from Schwanfeld. Please proceed.
Hey, sorry, just a follow-up question to your comments earlier. So basically, on the gold loan yield side, so basically this quarter, we moved from 3 months to 6 months, right? And you were saying, if I understand correctly, that we gave a little bit of... So just wondering, you are saying that monthly gold loan yield is steadily increasing now, and should reach 22% by end of this quarter. And just want to understand, why is that? Is it because we stopped giving those incentives already, or why the yield is moving up back up?
Yeah. So what we discussed on the yield, when we increase the tenure from 3 months to 6 months, the customer will be getting the contracted rate of interest. Instead of 3 months, he is getting the contracted rate of interest for 6 months. In the past, if it is a 3 month contract, the overdue interest will be charged from the date of maturity. So after 90 days, there will be a overdue interest. Now, during the tenure of 6 months, he will get the contracted rate of interest. So as the transition is over, then it will be in the same flow. So that is the reason steadily the yield is improving.
The time gap of 3-4 months only, that increase already reflected in April onwards. It is 21.4 range already reached. So it is steadily increasing. Day by day it is increasing.
Okay, so April is 21.5%, you were saying,
yeah.
If I hear it correctly.
As on date.
Okay, I understand. Cool, thanks so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kaustubh Joshi from Equity Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
My question is related to MFI space. How are you seeing this panning out in next couple of quarters, and what is the expectation or guidance for growth 3-4 quarters down the line?
Yeah, see, the demand is very good in MFI space. Demand is good. asset quality is steadily improving. So all depends on the liability. We are getting the liabilities at the renewal, etc. And after this quarter's result and clearing the cloud in the sky regarding the ED, this thing, etc., etc., we hope the renewals will come through. And what we are targeting is around 40% growth during the current year, 35 to 40%, and we hope we will achieve that.
Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me a follow-up. Again, coming back to this 3 months to 6 months, for my benefit and the benefit of most of the people on the call.
Not audible.
So there is some noise in the call. Hello.
The line of Abhijit has left the question queue. We move on to our next question, which is from the line of Raghav Madhavan from Virthi AMC Private Limited. Please proceed.
Hello. Thanks for taking up this question. This is regarding Ashirvad Microfinance. I would like to understand the geographical mix that's playing out as of Q4, and what would be the maximum concentration per state going forward?
Okay.
And also, if you can enlighten on the expansion plans in the other states, which were not the whole for Ashirvad.
See, Ashirvad, the business is spread across the country. And we have a decision not to have a portfolio of around 10% in a particular state. And also to restrict the portfolio to 1% in a particular district. So in that way, we can say that the operations are spread across the country. Now, the maximum exposure is in Tamil Nadu, which is below 20%. It was around 70% a couple of years back. It has come down to 20%. And gradually, it is coming down.
Yeah. In our investor presentation, page number 26 is giving the state-wise distribution of MFI AUM.
Okay, thank you. I also want to understand what will be Ashirvad's presence in Andhra Pradesh going forward after the recent High Court judgment, which relaxes the position over there that MFI can.
It is a Supreme Court ruling that the state government enactments regarding NBFC are annulled. State Money Lenders Act. These are annulled by the Supreme Court. So now, hereafter, no state can enact a separate law for an NBFC. Entirely, it is the purview of Union Government, that means Reserve Bank of India. That's the comfort. Now, just like other states, we can do microfinance business in Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, without any change, just like other states only. So what we don't have any plan for a drastic expansion of geographical spread this year. The reason is, last year we have expanded, and this year we want to derive the benefits. Even with the present branch strength of around 1,800 branches, across India, including gold loan branches, the company can reach a level of even 30,000. That sort of physical infrastructure is already laid. So there is no expansion plan this year.
Thank you. Just a final question. If you can also let us know on Assam portfolio, considering recently we can see that many MFIs now coming back to Assam. So what is the position of Ashirwad in Assam?
Ashirwad, for Ashirwad, the presence was meager and we don't have much hit as far as the Assam portfolio is concerned. It was very small. We have just ended only.
Right. So my question is, will they expand in Assam going forward? What is the business plan like in Assam?
Yeah.
Will it continue to be restricted?
This year, we are rationalizing, our plan is to rationalize the expenses. Why? Because last year, we have ventured into the branch expansions, etc., put people, etc. Now we have the people capacity as well as the branch capacity even to treble the business. So we don't plan to expand our branch network this year.
Understood. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me this follow-up. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So for my benefit and some others as well on the call, I just wanted to understand this extension in tenure from 3 to 6 months, from what I recall, and please correct me if I'm wrong, has not been done recently. I recall, four quarters back or five quarters back when we were seeing accelerated auctions. Immediately post that is where we had started moving from a 3 month gold loan product to a 6 month gold loan product. So please let me know if this understanding is correct, and the fact that we are not really incentivizing customers to move from 3 months to 6 months. Rather, as our offering, we are offering a 6 month gold loan product versus 12 month gold loan product which is offered by the competition.
Yeah. So, we started the moving from 3 months to 6 months few months back, but the transition was more towards the last quarter. That was the reason.
Got it.
Yeah.
And that's the standard product offering that we have now, right? A 6 month gold loan product.
Yeah. No, we don't have 3 months gold loan products at all.
Got it, sir. So the next thing where I needed some clarification is, partly answered this question. Last quarter, we had given the split of gold loans basis ticket size, less than 1 lakh, 1 to 2, 3 to 2 to 3, 3 to 5, and above 5 lakhs. So if Rajiv sir can please provide that.
We'll share that.
All right, sir. And so last question, while we have already guided on the gold AUM growth, how are we looking at the non-gold product segments? What kind of gold aspirations that we have in the non-gold product segments?
Yeah. The MFI may grow around 35%. And the other HFC also may grow around 35 to 40%. And vehicle loan and MSME, etc., these are showing a trend of a growth of around 50%.
Got it, sir. So this is very useful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Byron Engineer with CLSA. Please proceed with the question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my follow-up. Sir, if you could just give your overdue interest number for fourth quarter and third quarter.
Come back to you,
Viren. Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jigar Jani with BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Just one question. Our cost of funds has seen a decline sequentially on a consolidated basis from Q3 to Q4. Any particular reason for that, and what would be our guidance for borrowing costs for next year?
So one benefit we got during the quarter due to our repayment of dollar bonds, which was costing 11.5%, we redeemed at the beginning of the quarter. So that has given us some benefit. And in the case of Ashirwad, the rate is not going up as per the repo rate hike, because we were able to get the funding at a better pricing, because as a group we are getting the liquidity, so that is also getting us benefit. In housing finance also, as the growth is there, improving the earnings, these things helping us to get a better pricing.
Yeah, and any guidance for next year?
Yeah, so we have to see the overall market scenario, because last year we have seen a 250 basis points increase in the repo rate hike. So we have to see. I think there will not be further hike, then we may be able to continue at this level. And based on the repo rate hike, we may see an increase in the cost of borrowing.
And lastly, on the SME and personal loan business, we saw a marginal spike in GNPA in this quarter. Anything to read in that, or it's just normal course of business with growth, there is a small spike?
Yeah, that is a small ticket unsecured loan, where our yield is around 25%.
Okay. So that's there.
The
there is some
overall scheme that is very small, I think 140-150 crore AM.
Oh, okay, understood. Okay, thanks so much for answering my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shubhranshu Mishra with Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. The first question is around the competition. So, is it competition only from gold financiers and banks into gold loans, or the competition is also coming from micro SME lending from banks, other NBFCs, as well as fintechs? That's the first. Second is a data keeping question. If you can please speak about the accrued interest in this quarter and the auctions that have happened in this quarter. And also, if you can get the split of the AUM into less than 1 lakh, 1 to 2 lakh, and greater than 2 lakh. Thanks.
See, about competition, now also we should understand that the largest the portfolio is with the unorganized sector, which may be around 3 times of the organized sector, unorganized lenders. This is only an estimate because there are no data available. So, and India is importing around 1,000 tons of gold, and jewelry sale is also increasing. And also, the product is becoming from a distressed product to a lifestyle product. So in this process, there are enough opportunities for larger number of organized players to wean away the customers from the unorganized sector. So the competition was not the issue, really. The NBFCs generally do short-term loans for a tenure of average tenure of around 3-4 months. And a ticket size of around 50 to 60,000 rupees. So this is the, and for the banks, the average loan ticket and tenure is much, much higher. So bank customers and non-bank customers are different. So with all these taking into account, and the rural economy started coming back, we feel that competitive intensity will come down. And we saw the signs of that. Hello.
Yes, sir. Sir, this still doesn't answer my question. Sir, my question was, if the competition is from a different form factor, whether it's from micro SME lending from various banks and NBFCs and
fintechs. So, see, gold loan is gold loan. Why? Because This is the instant loan. There is no other instant loan. Gold loan customers are ever increasing only. So even those customers which who are availing micro loans, that may not be sufficient for their purpose, to meet their purpose need. So they so in addition to whatever they avail these gold loans and repay. And always when the gold is pledged, the first priority for repayment will be gold loan, because these are all family jewelry. So the other loans, increase in other loans, personal loans, etc., these don't pose much threat as far as gold loan is concerned.
Sure, sir. If you can answer the data points that I asked for, sir, the accrued interest, the option.
Yeah, you will share that.
Yeah, we'll share.
We'll share that separately.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
So, thank you for the active participation. And whatever details you asked for, we'll share with these details, micro details. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.